go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host. I'm here with another episode for you this week. This week, we're going to have a little bit of fun. This one will be an interesting thing that a lot of people usually don't use as much as they could. It's a great, cheap, can be very inexpensive way to market. Very creative, very different. It's probably around you more than you have any idea or pay attention to. And what we're going to talk about is guerrilla marketing. So the first thing to talk about is, what is guerrilla marketing? You know, guerrilla marketing, it's basically a typically cost-effective way to market that uses unconventional and often inventive tactics to get exposure for your brands or products. So let me start out and give an example of guerrilla marketing. So guerrilla marketing, when basically the one that comes to mind, like, think back, I don't even know what year this was. This was a while ago, but so it was basically at the Oscars, I believe, and Fiji Water did it. Basically what it was so they paid to have a bunch of their models take and walk around and pass out Fiji Water. Well, they did that and did a lot of great brand recognition that way, but where the gold happened was actually they didn't know what was going to happen. Well, Fiji did, I'm sure it was planned, but the Oscars had no idea. So basically what a couple of the Fiji girls did was, specifically one, was photobombed many, many, many of the celebrities as they were getting their photos taken on the red carpet. So you see all these pictures on social media, and they all had the Fiji Water girl with the bottles of Fiji Water in the background, and literally dozens and dozens and dozens of pictures. None of the people having their picture taken had any idea what was going on. But boy, when those pictures started making around social media, it became pretty obvious, and boy, was it genius. You know, another example might have been of guerrilla marketing would be the time Payless Shoes opened up a store in a high-end mall and put the name on it. It's like Pelesi or something like that, Pelesi. And basically what they did was they took all their shoes that were normally Payless Shoes that were 30, 40, 50 bucks, whatever it is they go for, made sure they had no logos on the inside that said Payless, and then they sold the exact same shoes for like 10 to 20 to 30 times the price. They took shoes that were selling for 50 bucks and put them at 1500, and they sold. Afterwards, they brought it to the people's attention, and most of the people that actually were invited to the kickoff of this thing were all press and influencers and whatnot. And then they showed them what was going on afterwards, and they couldn't believe it. Did Payless get any extra traction on that one? So was it really, really effective? I'm not 100% sure, but it was certainly a cool event and made it all over social media for sure. You know, other ones that would be considered guerrilla marketing, probably as far as a brand, the king of it, if to me, is probably Red Bull. Every time they do something like the jump from space and all these other different things, and even their Flugtag competitions, which is fantastic. Just the amount of viralness they get from that was just outstanding. I'm sure it cost them a mint, but it basically was so exceptional that it's all people were talking about for days and probably even a couple weeks after the event. But anyway, so guerrilla marketing. So you're probably thinking, well, okay, maybe that works for big brands, but how can that work for me? Well, guerrilla marketing is basically just think about it as something that's unconventional and may not use a typical medium. It can involve aspects of trying to get people to talk about it. It can involve aspects of direct customer interaction. Well, let me give you another great example. So Anytime Fitness, when they were launching in new markets for a while, basically what they were doing is they got a bunch of what looked like were probably older bicycles, and then they had them spray painted or however painted their purple. You know, if Anytime Fitness, one of their core branding things is all the equipment in the gyms are purple. Well, they took the same purple, and then they took these purple bikes. They painted everything. We're talking the tires, we're talking the grips, we're talking the seat. It was all their color purple. And then they went and placed these bikes and just locked them up to these bike racks all over these towns that they were going into for a while. And a lot of chatter, people were wondering what these bikes were, where they came from, and whatnot. And then finally, people would start to put the two and two together and then release the story on their own. So it's a very, very effective one. So things like that would all be considered, you know, guerrilla marketing. So let's talk about some rules that you always want to follow with guerrilla marketing. It can be very effective, but it also can cause some issues if you don't watch what you're doing. So one thing with guerrilla marketing is you want to make sure you define your goals. You want to know exactly what you want to do. Even though it's all about using your creativity and element of surprise, you still have to plan it thoroughly, and you want to make sure you plan what the outcome and what the effect will be. Rule number two, you really want to know your audience. Guerrilla marketing is effective partially because it's over the top and people aren't expecting it, and you could even call some of it provocative. It gets around some of the corporateness feeling of some traditional advertising media. However, you have to be very careful to make sure that you know your audience and you know what they think is funny. Now, given if people that are offended about it and want to spread your message that aren't your customer, fantastic. That makes absolutely no difference. However, you just want to make sure that your customers, the ones that you actually want to buy your product, are going to not be offended by what you're doing. There's a fine line between provocative and offensive. So you want to make sure that you're staying on the side that, you know, you're not being too crude and the shock factor isn't too great. Number four, you want to make sure you're brief. It should seem like a guerrilla marketing campaign just comes out of nowhere and then disappears just as quickly. Very temporary as far as the actual event or series of things, but the impact of it can hang around for a long time. And lastly, with guerrilla marketing, you want to make sure that you do your research. You want to make sure that, you know, hey, make sure that you're not doing anything crazy illegal. Make sure that you're not going to harm anyone. Make sure that you're not going to get a bunch of fines and tickets. Although sometimes when one could definitely make an argument that that's worth it, and that's just part of the plan and part of the costs. But you got to make that decision again for your market too, and want to make sure you're not causing a lot of trouble. But sometimes a little bit of havoc and even some bad press can be a good thing. So it all depends on, in the end, is how your customers are going to take it. You know, so there's a lot of some more examples I can give you of things that I've seen with guerrilla marketing, and I've kind of always been interested in it because it's a really neat way to do something different. You know, there is life beyond Facebook ads, and there is life beyond social media posts, and there is life beyond, you know, mailers and whatnot, or every door direct or whatever you want to do. But some of these are very, very outstanding. These examples that I'm going to give you, like, for example, Deadpool, when they made a Tinder profile for Deadpool, and they actually took some cheeky pictures or whatever, and wrote an interesting profile for him right ahead of the movie release. I believe it was right around our Valentine's Day when the movie was originally released, so they thought that was a great way to do it. It was awesome. It was hilarious. You heard about it all over the place. Another one that comes to mind, besides obviously the Fiji water and some other ways that we've talked about, would be the time that you have statues in New York of the bull outside the Wall Street, I believe, and basically they took and put a pair of big underwear on them from a particular brand. See, things like that are all things that, like, you basically would not normally think of in terms of marketing, but the impact of them is just huge. When you're getting a chance to reach people and you're getting a chance to take people talk about it, because remember, these days, what are the things that you see shared on social media? They're things that are interesting or different or shocking. And a lot of times, that can be some of the best press you can possibly get. Oh, you know what? There's one example, actually. This is right around the time I first started following some guerrilla marketing stuff and got interested in it. It was back in 2017. So this one was, there's always a little bit of a competition with Burger King and McDonald's. And this one was in 2017. This was the Halloween. It was right around the time the original It movie was launched. So basically what Burger King did is they they called this thing the Scary Clown Night. Basically, they gave the first 500 people dressed as a clown with a free Whopper if they visited one of the participating stores. So basically, they had hundreds of people coming in dressed like clowns, coming into Burger King, and they used the slogan. It was something like, come dressed as a clown and we'll have you eat like a king or something like that. So that, again, caught a lot of fanfare, caught a lot of momentum. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the It movie made the whole clown thing and scary clowns kind of popular for that moment. But see, things like that. So like, I'll give you a real life example that we actually used. So when we started doing a lot of our lessons and training and whatnot for our original sheepdog location in Moni that has the range, what we found is that a lot of the customers we were getting were people that concealed carry, and that even a lot of law enforcement that would try to go to a traditional range and practice, but they couldn't do any real practice. You know, they could just shoot at paper from a static position slowly. So they didn't allow them to rapid fire. They didn't allow them to draw from a holster. Well, when thinking through the whole concealed carry thing, if you can't practice from your holster with actual live fire, how can you be 100% sure that you're going to be effective? So it was one of the big ranges near us that they changed their name since, but they were called Shoot Point Blank at the time, that did not allow any holster draw. It made you wait at least a second between shots. So we had all wanted to have a little bit of fun with them. So what we did is we made up t-shirts that said, it doesn't matter if you can shoot point blank if you can't get your gun out of the holster. Basically taking a rip on them that they weren't allowing their customers to practice holster draws and whatnot on their ranges. And that's a common thing with a lot of commercial ranges. They just don't allow it. Or if they do allow it, it's only for a small amount of time. And it's only like one night a week for an hour or two or something like that. Now, I understand they have to give the people close supervision, but they definitely should allow people to do that or figure out a way to staff their facility in such a way that they can do it safely, because it's just such an important thing to practice those skills. So anyway, we made up these t-shirts, and then we went and booked a small party, rented a bunch of lanes, and sent a bunch of people in there wearing those shirts. And at the Shoot Point Blank we went to, there was a bunch of windows that allow you to look from the gun shop into the range. So I found it kind of funny now that you could go in and look and see these shirts, and the people that got it cracked up. I think even a lot of their staff cracked up. We probably should have expanded that and done that a bunch more and got a lot more people to go in, because the reaction to those shirts was actually pretty fantastic. We actually had another shirt we made just before that really kind of started the whole thing was one that said, you target shoot, that's cute, I train. So basically trying to get at the difference between target shooting, you know, standing in a static position, shooting around every second, versus training for really being able to defend yourself. Sorry, we got off a little bit of a tangent there, but let's go back to guerrilla marketing. So guerrilla marketing has actually been around for a long time. That's something that we didn't talk about. I mean, there was a book in the 80s that basically became a bestseller that talked about these, and it was done even before that. We'll go through a couple other examples of interesting things that we've seen done. And the whole point of going through these is I just want your mind to be going, hey, what are the different things that I can do? What are the different things that, you know, might work for me, my company, my brand? What are things that are realistic? And then even if things that you're going to do aren't necessarily typically guerrilla, I would encourage you to question all of the marketing you're doing and ask why and how effective it is, and if there's any way I can make it better. Like, so for example, call it ambush marketing or event marketing or whatever you want to call it. There was an example that I remember reading about that was the beer brand Stella pulled off a pretty epic one of this. So basically what they do, I believe it was around 2011, 2012, I believe it was the US Open. So what they did is they took and just went in and put up a whole bunch of their ads around the big posters, pictures around the event that made it look like they were the official sponsor, although they were not a sponsor. They were not. So thought it was very, very, very interesting that they were able to do this, and it had just a huge impact, and people talked about it for a long time. You know, other examples that are probably more common of ambush marketing or event marketing would be, you know, flash mobs. You know, you see that a lot of time when a whole bunch of people will appear to be regular shoppers in a mall. then the next thing you know, they'll break into song or dance or something like that. Or could even be like, you know, people wearing all the same shirt that are all your shirts, or people, any of those sorts of things, you know, people, a bunch of them going into your competitors wearing your gear. Those sorts of things are always interesting and make great photo ops too. And if it's something that's outside and you can do that, boy, that would be an awesome thing where if you could do a drone flyover, that would just be gold right there for videos. Another thing that you can think about is what we would call astroturfing or a paid endorsement. It's basically when you're paying somebody to do something or give a testimonial. Now, those can certainly cloud people's judgments of, hey, is this a real testimonial or is this just astroturfing? But a good example is McDonald's admitted that they paid 1,000 people to stand in line at one of their Japanese restaurants for a quarter pounder to make it look like they were just so in demand. Now, you see a lot of times people will pay people to do positive endorsements, you know, leave a review, those sorts of things, give you a discount in exchange for it. You know, other probably more common examples of like astroturfing style would be, you know, influencers or even affiliates. Influencers, if they're paying them to do to endorse their products, or affiliates where they're just, you know, paying them to with a link to be able to giving them a part of the commission for any of the products that they help sell. So, you know, experiential is another type of guerrilla marketing. Basically, any time that you can offer someone an experience or envelop them. You know, an example would be you see it like trade shows, and sometimes you'll see people with a typical booth, or sometimes people do things like backdrops or cardboard cutouts to take pictures with, or even like live people dressed up like characters to take pictures with. Those are all great ways to get yourself in conversations. And, you know, while those people are waiting in line, your sales reps can be going up and down and talking to them and whatnot. And you make sure that the pictures don't get taken too quickly, you know, keep them in line as long as you can. Create that perceived demand. You know, the last type that really comes to mind would be like maybe like a stealth type marketing, which would be considered guerrilla. That's really just your typical product placement stuff. Basically, you see this all the time in movies where if a particular character is drinking a particular soda, it's probably a placement. It's probably there on purpose. Probably the most famous one I think you would ever think of this one would be if you've seen the Tom Hanks film in Castaway. There's a scene when he finds a whole bunch of FedEx packages and he's opening these FedEx boxes. And do you think that happened by mistake? Nope, they could have been plain brown boxes, but I'm sure FedEx paid a healthy sum of money to be in that movie. So a lot of interesting ways that you can take and get after things from a marketing standpoint. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You know, you don't have to spend even, you have to spend some time. That's something you're not going to be able to get around. But as far as money, you can get around that. And these sort of things can make an impact and just make a name for you without having to spend a ton of money on ad spend and really just to be different. You know, the one thing that I always talk about is definitely being different and trying to set yourself apart from your competition. You know, if your competition is doing X and Y and Z, get away from those. You know, you can even think about like, say industries, you know, like the car industry, you know, hey, how could that be disrupted? You know, you typically have dealers that'll be on like, you know, listings on Auto Trader and this and that and all these third party websites. Well, what if they put that money towards things that they would actually help build their brand instead of just framing themselves to be like a commodity? So build their brand of the dealer that's different. So, but all kinds of things for you to think about. I hope this was beneficial for you. And I hope it, above all else, these podcasts, I really hope they get you thinking. A lot of them are definitely made to teach you different skills and angles and all sorts of things. But the main thing I want you to get out of is thinking, how can I apply these to my business? You know, whether you're a business owner or whether you're a sales rep or whatever your current position is, see how you can apply these things. See how you can do different. Maybe you won't have the authority to do big things, maybe that's not your department, but you can still take and apply guerrilla examples or guerrilla tactics to what you do, because everyone that works, whether it's for their own company or for another company, we're all in marketing. We're all marketing companies. We just happen to sell different products. That's all. That's the only thing that makes us different. At the core, that's what we're all doing is marketing. Hope this was beneficial. If there's anything we can help you with, remember our contact information is always out there. Please share this with anyone you think could use it. Guerrilla marketing is something that's often overlooked, and I'd love for you to get it in everyone's ears. Thanks for tuning in to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubacher. Until next week.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.